It's Thursday. Time for our weekly check-in with Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes, with us now via Skype. But let's start this with this morning's big news from General Motors, that second quarter report.
Smoking. Absolutely smoking. General Motors continues to be on a roll and trying, I think, to convince the skeptical investment community that this is for real, that they are an earnings machine. CEO Mary Barr at the end of the call this morning reiterated in saying, this shows that we are an earnings machine or an earnings engine and that we are a compelling investment opportunity. And if that wasn't a sales job, I don't know what was.
And to that point, tell everyone, how much did General Motors make in its second quarter?
Almost $2.9 billion, which was up 157% from last year's $1.1 billion. They continue to really light it up, particularly in North America. That's what's really driving these earnings, not China, certainly not South America, which continues to be problematic, and not Europe, which is starting to get in the black for the first time in about 5 years, actually. I think they did their first profitable quarter since sometime in 2011. I've been covering that story for going back almost 20 years, including living in Germany for 4 years. And Europe has been a problem for a very long time, but yeah, it looks like they're finally getting some traction.
Now, with this in mind, this record $2.87 billion second quarter earnings. So here we have the fact that earlier this month, the Federal Appeals Court in Manhattan ruled that the GM bankruptcy does not protect the automaker from those lawsuits over the ignition switch defect. And we've got lawyers during that hearing talking about $10 billion in claims. And now the appeals court has stripped away that argument of GM, hey, we went bankrupt. And GM's creditors got their own win in a Manhattan court with the bankruptcy judge there giving them the green light to go after old GM to the tune of $1.5 billion. So how does this all fit in with this record-setting second quarter?
Well, they're clearly offsets. But, you know, these things have to be adjudicated. I mean, it's not just because they get the green light to go ahead and do it doesn't mean that these lawsuits, or all of them, are going to be successful. But clearly, it's going to be money, distraction, issues they're going to have to deal with, but they have to get through them. I don't think anybody thinks that plaintiffs' lawyers are going to, now that they've been given a green light by a federal court, that they're going to say, you know what, we're not going to pursue it. I mean, that ain't going to happen. So they're just going to have to, they're going to have to continue to work their way through this. I mean, I think this is part of a much broader mosaic in the industry, which is that the modern contemporary American legal system and regulatory system is going to hold manufacturers accountable one way or another. I mean, you see this happening with Volkswagen and their whole Dieselgate. It's going to continue to be an issue, and I'm not surprised, and frankly, they're just going to have to get their way through it.
I want to turn over to politics. Your column from yesterday, is this the best the country can do for president? Let's get into your thoughts as you've watched the Republicans convening this week. And then, of course, we know the Democrats will convene next week in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. What got you to write that column?
Disgust. You know, I look at both of these major candidates. I don't think any time in my lifetime have both major parties at the same time in the same cycle have nominated such deeply flawed candidates as the Republicans and the Democrats have. The choices, I think, are frankly pretty scary. One has national security implications and a very difficult issue with the truth. The other has difficult issues with the truth and is a pretty towering narcissist. I mean, I think we're in a very difficult situation. I talk to friends, other people about this, and a lot of people are not happy. On the other hand, I think you have people that respond to a column like that, and they're so blinded by their support of one candidate or the other that no matter what these candidates do or don't do, they can't step back and say, you know, something here isn't right. Mm-hmm. But it's what we got, and we're going to have to work our way through it.
Well, it's amazing. This morning I jumped on Huffington Post pollster just to see what are the latest numbers. And Hillary Clinton's unfavorable rating is 56% today, favorable just a little over 39%. And you consider that in May 2011, her favorability rating was over 60%. It's basically flip-flopped. And Donald Trump right now has an unfavorable rating of over 60%. Is there anything these two candidates you think can do to improve these dismal opinions before Election Day?
Well, Trump has a golden opportunity tonight. I mean, how many times have we heard him in the primaries? You want me to be presidential? I can be presidential. Well, you know what? You can't just say it. You got to be it. I mean, anybody who knows human nature knows that somebody that's 70 years old doesn't easily change their basic human nature very easily. But he has a real opportunity tonight to make a statement and to appear presidential. Apparently, he's working with some Reagan-era speechwriters, including the one who helped President Reagan write the Tear Down This Wall speech in Berlin, and I believe it was in 1988. But that's just one thing. in terms of Hillary Clinton, I mean, you know, she's going to continue to be dogged, I think, by FBI Director Comey's assessment of what she did or didn't do in the email scandal. My concern in that whole thing, and I think a lot of people who think more deeply about this, is not just that she set up the servers, but those servers were likely hacked by foreign governments, adversaries to the United States, and potentially some of her aides were also hacked. And I think the FBI feels that pretty clearly from what they've said. So then the question you have to ask yourself is, what do these foreign governments have on somebody who could be president of the United States? That's not an answer we're going to know as the average voter. I can bet that the FBI's counterintelligence arm is trying to figure it out, but we're not going to know, and I find that very concerning.
And just to wrap up, I want to give you a chance to serve up the same quote you ended your column with, the H.L. Mencken quote.
H.L. Mencken was a famous journalist from Baltimore, and he wrote this. He said, "Democracy is the theory that the common people know what they want and deserve to get it good and hard."
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Daniel, thanks so much.
Thank you.